We send them off to college.
And I learned all manner of things in high school, and the Bible was not one of them. And I'm thankful for our kids, my kids included, who have the privilege of learning the Scripture. Would you go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2? 2 Timothy 2:2, it's the quintessential discipleship verse, and so I think you probably know which direction that I'm going. But I'm thankful as a church that God has allowed us to be a part of educating the next generation of Christian servants. And I have to be honest with you, years ago when we started a Christian school, or rather restarted it, if you will, I wasn't huge on the idea of Christian education, just me personally. Because I've seen it done a lot of times incorrectly. I've seen sometimes where the school outgrows the church, and the school, you know, it's kind of like the tail wagging the dog, and I did not want that to be the case. In fact, when I came here, the school had shut down, and I told the deacons at the time, I said, listen, I'd like to be a pastor, not a school administrator. God's called me to dedicate my life to teaching the Word of God. And at first, just because I felt like maybe I had to pick one of two, I definitely, you know, sided on this side of church and so forth. And I remember as the Lord is working on my heart, for all the reasons we're going to talk about tonight, philosophy and worldview and discipleship for our students, for our teenagers, for our kids, the Lord was working on my heart a couple years ago about starting a Christian school, if you will. And I remember calling a brother in Christ, a pastor that is a friend of mine, and I remember asking him about his Christian school. I said, why is it that you do that? Why is it that you have a school? Aren't there other options? Aren't there other schools that you can send the kids to? Why is it you chose as a pastor to follow, you know, if the Lord led you to start a school in your church? And I remember as I was talking to him, he kind of talked about how there's really two options for education, and I agree wholeheartedly, and I'll talk more about it in a minute. There's the option of homeschool, and then there's the option of a Christian education. And he talked about that idea that really in church, you only have the kids for maybe 1 hour, three, maybe 5 hours if the parents stay in fellowship after the service, but about 3 hours on average. In church, and then he brought the statistic up that's obvious, that in school is about 35 hours. And he talked about the need of discipleship. And I remember hearing that really for the first time, and I didn't go to Christian school until college. I went to public school. And as I thought about this idea of discipleship, and as I thought about your kids, I thought about my kids, I want to make sure that our children have the best chance of making it in the army of God, the best chance for living for Jesus Christ, the best chance for having a heart that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Faith Baptist Academy exists for discipleship, to train up the child in the way that he should go. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's verse number 1. It says, in the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. And now listen, I wholeheartedly understand that was not arithmetic and geometry. That was the word of God. And so I will say that arithmetic and science and so forth should be in harmony with the Word of God, in the same way that science should be in harmony with the Word of God. And so I understand that he's not talking about core subjects, he's talking about Scripture, but oftentimes the only other option out there is that which goes directly against the Word of God. And so what I mean to say here is that the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It's my desire that we have church families and produce young people in our church family who can go out and teach others also, who can teach them the Word of God, and, you know, if the Lord calls them into education, to teach them the core subjects and so forth. But discipleship is the reason that our school was started. Now, I'm going to add one to that list, that short list, discipleship. We've heard it a bunch tonight, and I'm actually thankful for that. I think equally important, the reason Faith Baptist Academy exists is because of world view. Now, I preached a message, it was months ago now, on the idea of a biblical worldview, but a Christian and their children have a responsibility to interpret their entire life and the entire world system through the lens of Scripture. We have that biblical responsibility. It's a privilege because it allows us to see the world the way God would. And wisdom, another way to define wisdom, is to have the mind of God. And this Scripture gives us to us the mind of God, and it allows us then to see the world through that lens. All that we see, all the data that we input, all of our education, our experiences, and our opportunities should be filtered through the Word of God. Our children should enter adulthood with a view of this world that their Creator agrees with and that their Creator has. Teaching plays an enormous part in the worldview of a person. Environment, we talked a lot about that, identity and environment and so forth, plays a huge part in the development of a person's worldview. Friends and association play a huge role in the formation of a young person's worldview. And I hope that we realize, I hope we've not been ignorant with our heads in the sand, I hope that we realize that school checks every one of those boxes. School is meant to teach. School creates an environment. School is where many, if not most, of your children's friends will be made. And school plays a huge role in that development of a person's, our children specifically, world's view. And think about, again, that statistic. At church, 1 to 5 hours a week. At school, 35 hours a week. Now, if there is a tug of war, and I use that word if very generously, if there is a tug of war on worldview, who do you think will win? You have a church. And praise God for bringing your kids to church, and you ought to. But again, it's not the church's job to teach the word of God to your children. It's the father's job. It's the mother's job. But if we're giving our children to God for just a handful of hours, and then we're giving them to the world, and I know I'm jumping a couple lines ahead, but if we're giving them to a world that teaches an unbiblical worldview for 35 hours a week, if there is a tug of war, who do you think will win? I'm thankful for all the public school teachers that we have in our church, and we have a good number of them, and I am so grateful that you are on the front lines fighting the doctrine, and I'm going to use that word intentionally, the doctrine that's going into our children there in public schools, and you're standing against that godlessness, and I am so incredibly grateful for that. But the world system, we ought not be surprised as Christians, as discerning Christians, the world system will always teach their own worldview. Lost people cannot receive the things that be of God. The natural man will not receive those. So if we have a lost world teaching our children, we should not be surprised that what they are taught is contrary to the word of God. And I wonder why it is that some Christians, and again, I know this is a sensitive topic, but here's the reason I'm coming this way. Because I love your kids and I want them to make it. And because 15 years ago, I went through public school, and that was 15 years ago, and the damage that it had done and the things that I saw and the things that I heard, I cannot unsee and I cannot unhear. And I walked through some of that, and I want as much as possible, and this is not a message against public school, this is just a message on biblical worldview and the formation of it. And I find it a strange thing that God's people would allow the world to educate their children 35 hours a week. Think about it this way. Do you think that if someone was a staunch atheist, this is just a kind of a hypothetical illustration, if someone was a staunch atheist, they wholeheartedly disagreed and disavowed the worldview of Scripture, do you think for one moment that they would call Faith Baptist Church and say, hey, is open enrollment for Faith Baptist Academy? Can I put my kid in your school so they can hear that there's a God that created humanity and there's a God who holds men accountable? Do you think for one moment an atheist, an anti-God person, would put their child in a place that would indoctrinate their children to the contrary of their worldview? I submit to you, they would not. So then that begs the question, is why would God's people allow their children to be indoctrinated, and I do use that word on purpose, with a worldview that is opposite of Scripture? And on top of that, not only are we sending our kids, but we're sending them alone. We're sending them into a place that's going to teach them all manner of unbiblical things. And again, recently I was shown by, I believe, one of our public school teachers, a curriculum for fifth grade that had just come out. And it was teaching them about sodomy and sodomite actions and how to do this and all these unbelievably wicked things. In school, evolution is doxology. Christianity is bigoted and maligned. And for 35 hours a week, for most cases, parents send their children to a place to be educated by unsaved people with an unbiblical worldview. And I just find that to be the source of much of the conflict that we're having with some of our young people passing on the biblical worldview to them. I believe in Christian education, whether it be in the home or on this property, because I want the biggest say in our young people's lives and in the formation of their worldview. I think every parent should care tremendously about who and what is being taught to our children. I think every parent should be wholeheartedly, completely engaged in the process of formulating and forming in their early years the worldview that is going to carry them through the rest of their life. Like I said, I'll testify for a minute. I went to public school, and it took a toll on my soul. For 15 years, it was 15 years ago, I didn't go to school for 15 years. I saw things I wish I had not. I was introduced to things and seen and heard things that I wish I had not from teachers and from students alike. Did you know that statistically the first time a child views pornography is the age of 7? Yeah. How does that happen? Well, we send them to a group of people who don't know Jesus for 35 hours a week, and they form friends that don't know Jesus and spend time at their house. I just think, and I'm not saying we should hide in a corner. I am simply saying that we should steward the arrows that God has put into our quiver. I understand, and the argument could be made, well, my child can be exempt from certain things, and I understand, I did that. I remember, I think I was 15 or 16 years old, and it was the swimming portion of PE for that year, sophomore, junior year, whatever that was, freshman year. And I remember getting the exemption from my parents, and I remember being embarrassed. You know, because here's 15-year-old Casey, and I'm going to be the only weird kid that's not going into the pool with all the naked people. And I remember handing that to my teacher, and my teacher laughing at me. He said, why is there a religious exemption from swimming? You don't like water? I said, no, I don't mind the pool. I enjoy the pool. But here's the thing. I was going to marry Stephanie Horton. And I wanted to keep my mind as pure as possible. And I didn't want to see all these people without clothes on and compromise my future marriage. And so, sure, you can be exempt from certain things, but that's really uncomfortable and really awkward having been the person who has done that. I'm speaking about these things because I care about your children. I was, thank God, spared from so much in high school. Recently, we had the tour group come through, and Rena and Kimmy were here, and the guy who drove them, I don't know if you saw him or not, his name is Jesse. Jesse, that real tall guy. Jesse and I went to the same middle school, and same time. I think he was a year ahead of me, and he was talking about how we knew each other and so forth, and he asked me, when did you get saved? I said, I got saved in junior high, and I went into high school, and I was telling him how, man, the Lord really spared me from a lot of the heartache, and what he told me was, he said, I didn't get saved in junior high. He said, I didn't get saved until adulthood, and he said, the path you would have taken, I took. And he said, it messed up a whole lot of things. It changed a whole lot of things for me. And so I understand that it's not impossible to go through a public school and make it out with, you know, your purity intact and your love for Jesus intact. I'm just simply saying, why would we roll the dice with our children? There's a reason, and this again is just philosophical, I understand. There's a reason that FBA is a closed enrollment, and some churches do it different. Some churches will allow anybody who says they're Christian to come to school. But here's what I did not want to do. I didn't want to use my children as an evangelistic tool. I didn't want my kids to sit with lost people for the sake of maybe they'll get saved, or maybe they'll be the first one to hand my kids something I would never allow them to. I think it's very important that we shepherd and guard the purity of our children. And I got to say, I'm grateful. I was able to make it through high school with my purity intact. I was able to make it through high school. But at the same time, it was just as likely that I could have ended up in the drug crowd or in the immorality crowd, even though I was the Bible thumper in high school. I was the guy who carried his Bible with him. Not in his backpack, I carried it in hand. And I was made fun of and all of those things. But I want you to know this. I had ample opportunity for drugs. Even as the guy who carried his Bible to school, I had ample opportunity for immorality. It's just the culture that we're sending our kids to, and I would suggest that the temptation in most cases can be overwhelming. The pressure is relenting to conform. The opportunity is rife. And parents, can I just plead with you to be the shepherd of your children's worldview? It should not surprise us when we send our kids to the world to be indoctrinated, and then on the other end of high school, we're confused why they don't believe in God any longer. Yeah. I just am confused why that would be confusing. People do what they're trained to do, and Satan knows that. Yeah. People build their identity on those they associate with, and Satan knows that. People many times will build their theology, whether they call it theology or not. People have theology. They have certain beliefs about homosexuality. They have certain beliefs about sin and what is and is not okay. They have certain beliefs about whether there is a God or there is a hell. And people many times will build their theology by those they are around and those they associate with. And I want you for a moment to think about what teaching is meant to accomplish. What is teaching for? Is it mere transfer of knowledge? Is it so they can learn subjects? I think that might have been what it, Brother Wright told us tonight, that's not why public school was started. But today, education has been weaponized into what I'm going to call indoctrination. And every tyrant of history knows that if you control the schoolhouse, you can control a country. You think about the Catholic Church in the early 500s as they forced the world into Latin education. The scripture was only in Latin. And popes have been quoted as saying, if you control the education of a country, you can control a country. And Satan is no fool in knowing that. School has been weaponized. You should be able to see that what once was a school that taught, arithmetic and science and history, even if it wasn't a biblical one. Now, instead of those subjects, we're learning about sex education in third grade. Yeah. Now we're learning gender studies, and you get to pick who you want to be in elementary school. Anti-authority, anti-government, anti-police, anti-God, anti-Christian ideology is what's peddled. I understand there are concepts there, but I would suggest you ask any of our public school teachers the battle they fight. On the front line, fighting against this indoctrination that, and I've had teachers in our church show me, Pastor, this is what they want me to teach. I'm not doing it. I'm thankful for every one of those. But there is power in social pressure. Huge power in these captive environments that kids have to go to. They're stuck. They have to sit there. There have been times that I, in high school, got up and walked out. There have been times in high school that I stood my ground and said, no, I'm not going to take this test because I'm not going to sin against my God and saying the world was formed over billions of years and that there is no God. I understand you can take a stand, but the power of social pressure is enormous. Mob rule and social justice warrior is a huge thing in our culture today. And teachers and students alike become the mob rule when they find out that someone has a dissenting, bigoted view. You believe what? You think that someone who does this is a sinner? It's not an alternate. You think this, and the class can jump on it. And how do you know that happens? It happened to me so many times. My 10th grade biology teacher would spend like 10 minutes before nearly every single class period and turn the entire class and say, so what do you believe about homosexuality, Casey? I'm sure the dude could lose his job for that, but he didn't. And that happens. That kind, if you stand out for Jesus Christ, that's going to happen. Or your children will learn to shut up and sit down because they don't want the pressure of being the bigot. They don't want to be the person who's singled out and maligned. They don't want to be the person that's considered weird. And what's worse is instead of just learning to be quiet, they fold. They buy into the theology being peddled. And they compromise on what the Bible says about sexuality. They disavow in many cases, and I have seen it. I wish you could sit in my office with me. With the parents whose children have gone on into adulthood who no longer hold to the God of the Bible. And many cases that was not learned from the youth group. It wasn't learned at the church. It wasn't learned at home. As Brother Wright said, there's those three things. Many times it's learned at school. And they move in times not only away from the God of the Bible, but they become antagonistic toward the God of the Bible. Because they'll say things like, well, I have a friend who does this, and you're telling me that God doesn't approve of them? Yes. Amen. What's wrong with absolute truth? That's right. What's wrong with Scripture being the authority? What's wrong with God's Word being the standard? And we send our kids, in many cases, to a place where they're taught the Bible is fake and God's not real and you're a bigot and you're a this or you're a that if you believe contrary to that. And I just wish that parents would take the responsibility to shepherd the development of their children's worldview. So turn to our text this evening. We'll pray, and then we just have a couple more thoughts I want to give to you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It's where we were this morning. Talking about our identity, right? It says, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So that was this morning's message on identity. That was about who we are, who we want to be, how we want to live, right? But I want you to continue, and I want you to see in the next verse how God talks about a world view and the dangers of letting ungodly people teach us a contrary worldview. It says in verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you. You think about meat that is spoiled. There's some contaminant in there. Maybe the whole meat is not bad, but there's some contaminant, there's some fungus, there's something that is moving slowly through this and destroying the acceptability of this food. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It is him that we should learn from. It is him that should establish our philosophy and our worldview, not the traditions of men, not vain philosophy, not vain deceit. It's him who should be the formation of our philosophy. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Let's pray. Father, ask God you guide us tonight. I pray, Father, that you'd work just in these last few moments as we kind of tie a bow on this. Lord, I understand that not everybody's going to put their kids in our school. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is, as a pastor, I want our children to have the best chance they've got to do what's right and to form a worldview that is in accordance to Scripture. And every parent's going to have to make that decision. And I understand that, God, and I hope that nobody is going to get touchy or upset about this, that, or the other. But Lord, the Scripture's clear. We have to shepherd our children. We can't just send them into the world to learn at their feet things that are contrary to Scripture. So, Father, would you guide us tonight? And, Lord, I pray that you just work in our hearts tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I understand there are some pastors who will hobby horse on one topic or another. This is certainly not a hobby horse for me. I did spend 4 years as a youth pastor and the last 6.5 years as a pastor. And the reason for this message and the reason for our Christian school and the reason that I believe you really got two options tonight is simply because I want your kids to have the best shot at loving Jesus for the rest of their life as possible. I want them to make it to the marriage altar pure. I want them to make it into adulthood to where they can serve in their local church and be an asset and a teacher or a deacon or a bus driver and have a philosophy that is grounded in Scripture. And what I'm seeing far too often is that a child's biblical understanding is eroding when we send our children to the world to learn. So look again at verse number 8. Beware, that's an important word, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy means this, a way of thinking, a worldview. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You know what's an empty lie? You're an accident. Young people, you have no eternal value. You are the culmination of evolutionary process. You happen to, by mistake, have a life and have a body, but you don't have any eternal meaning. That's empty deceit. And vain deceit. After the traditions of men. Here's how the world thinks. Think like them. Don't let anybody spoil you through that philosophy and the traditions of men. After the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. Listen, every parent in this room has a biblical responsibility to do what that Bible says, to beware. Think about what does beware mean? Be aware. To know and to watch diligently. You are responsible to know what your child is being taught. You have a responsibility to be a sober and vigilant watchman on the wall of your young people. To be aware of what's being taught. And so the way I see it, you've got really three options that boil down to two options. The first option was you can either go with them to their school all 35 hours a week and protect them from the philosophy and vain deceit of this world. Option number two, you can teach your children yourself. I think that's a very biblical option. Number three, you can send them to a place that you can trust the philosophy and the traditions that are being taught them, that it's not after the rudiments of this world, but it's after Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate this point in a really blatantly obvious way. Would you send your children to the Mormons to be indoctrinated? Would you? Would you send your children, as God's people, would you send your children to some form of Mormon catechism, some form of Mormon doctrine class for 35 hours a week to learn that Jesus is the brother of Satan, that he is somewhat God, but not truly God. He's just another God among many future gods, and you yourself can be a God and have your own God planet and populate the planet with your little God babies and your many, many wives. Would you allow them the freedom to unsupervised teach your children for 35 hours a week? I think in a very obvious way, every parent in here would say there's not a way in the world because I know the damage it would do. So then why would we send them to a different subsect of lost people so they can teach them there is no God? That you are your own God. You have your own truth. It's subject to whatever you think. And listen, I've struggled with why people would view that as acceptable. Maybe it's because, well, I think my kid can get a super quality education. And I'm not suggesting that public school education will make you dumb. I'm not saying that at all. There's certainly great teachers and good teaching method and so forth. So is it because we think, well, if I can put them in there, they'll get them a quality education. Maybe they'll get opportunities that they wouldn't have. But I know this is a bit extreme, and so I'm going to step over here. This is Casey doctrine, right? So I always step to the right side of the pulpit. I would rather my child grow up, and this is just me. You don't have to be this way. This is extreme, I know. I would rather my child grow up not having any idea how to read or write than a child grow up and deny the God of his parents and have no faith in his creator. Amen. Anybody can teach somebody to read or write. But the idea that I would compromise the faith of my child so he might have an opportunity at a scholarship, he might have an opportunity at a higher education. I am for higher education. I believe we ought to have the highest and the best possible education in Christian school. And that's something we strive for, something we work on, something we're trying to make sure is absolutely to the highest level it can be. But are we willing to sacrifice one for the other? And if we are, there's going to be some accountability for that. So, thankfully, we don't have to decide between a derelict who doesn't know how to read and someone who loves God. There is another option, right? And that is, number one, that you would teach your children in your home. I think that's very biblical. I think it's very important. I think that if that's an option, then that's something you should do. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, quit your job then. I know that's extreme, but desperate times call for desperate measures, right? These are our kids, right? I think it'd be more important to, you know, the Bible says that better is a dinner of herbs and love therewith than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. I'd rather have children who love the Lord than children who have every nicety this world could ever offer because I chose this over that. So I understand that that's a bit extreme. So you can teach your children yourself, which is fine. I'm all for that. Or you can find a Bible-teaching Christian school. I think it's important to delineate here as well. I think a Christian school should be the real kind of Christian school. And maybe I'm splitting hairs on this, but I think a Christian school should be doctrinally sound. I think a Christian school should be biblically accurate. Not the pretend kind of Christian school that's just got Christian on the name of it. But think about this. Would you go to a church, would you surrender your family for 3 to 5 hours a week if you're super faithful? Would you surrender your family 3 to 5 hours a week and go to a church that did not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? Right. Probably not. Yeah. But we'll send our kids to that school for 35 hours a week? Would you go to a school that did not use the version of Scripture that you believe to be the inspired word of God? Would you go to a church for 3 to 5 hours a week? Wow. Most of us would draw the line and say, I'm not doing that. But we'll send our kids there for 35 hours a week. So again, I know I'm a bit splitting hairs on this idea, but I do think that it is important that we make sure that our children are being influenced the right way. Whatever you do, I'll say this again, between the two good options we've got, whatever you do, don't let lost people form your children's worldview. I am pleading with you. As someone who has been there in many instances to try to pick up the pieces and restore the faith of young people. Some guy who lost his purity because a girl he met at his school. I plead with you. Again, I wish you could sit in my office and hear from the brokenhearted parents who never thought this would happen. And I don't mean this to be harsh in any way, but how did we never think that? How did we never think it'd be possible when we send our kids for 35 hours a week for, 13 years of their life? And we send them to lost people to teach them their worldview and philosophy? Again, this is not a message that's anti-public school. I think there's some qualities in some of that. But how is it we could allow lost people more time with our children than we would have with our own kids to teach them the biblical worldview? So Christian family, I invite you to consider Christian education. I'll admit, we're probably not getting any football scholarships at FBA this year. I understand that. I understand that you might not have the opportunities that you would in public school. I get that. But your children, should they be in a godly Christian school? Again, I'm not suggesting that FBA is the only one that there is, but I am suggesting that our children have the best opportunity to grow up loving God and having a worldview according to this book and not contrary to it. So I know there's no scholarships given out, but this is me. This is my idea. I'll take holiness over Harvard. I would rather have children who love Jesus with all of their heart grow up to be a faithful businessman or a tradesman or a tradeswoman. I would rather children who grow up and love God with all their heart than let them be the richest, most powerful captains of industry that this world has ever known. I'd rather have children who have a deep, abiding knowledge of Scripture, who maybe don't go as far, and I'm okay with that. I know that you might not be, and that's fine. But like I said, if you have a differing opinion, I suggest that you search it out in Scripture. You're allowed to disagree with me. That's fine. Just make sure you don't disagree with the Bible. Make sure that when you say, no, I'm willing to possibly sacrifice my children's doctrine, my children's worldview, my children's spiritual safety for a farther career that will carry them. Just make sure you're making the right choice. And that's all I'm submitting to you today. But I believe that Christian education is number one about discipleship. The things which thou hast learned of me, the same commit thou unto faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. You know what I want in 40 years, should the Lord tarry his coming and let me live? I want to have kids. I want to have grandchildren who love Jesus Christ. I want to pass to my kids what they will pass to their kids, what they will pass to their kids. Why? That's discipleship. But discipleship does not happen accurately with a tainted and perverted and anti-God worldview. So just something to pray about this week. Let's pray. Father,